Today's daf in Masechet Taanit, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf hey, and we're holding at that Halakha Mishnah. So, up until now, what have we been talking about? Maskirin Gevurot Geshamim. Now, we made the transition in our entire discussion yesterday, where we discussed the interrelationship of the Rabbi Yochanan between the She'ela and the Zechira. So this Mishnah now starts to begin our involvement with the She'elas Geshamim. And that's, when do we say V'tein Tal Umatar? So we talked about a little bit yesterday about the beginning. We're going to get later on to the discussion of when exactly the periods are in which we can call the Geshamim, the various stages of the Geshamim. But up until when would be Shoyal the Geshamim, when we brought this Mishnah in the course of that previous discussion? So Rabbi Yehuda Imer Achi Avora Pesach, that we do all of the days of Chol HaMoed until the end of Pesach, we do She'ela. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ad She'etzei Nisan. And I'll prove it to you, says Rabbi Meir. I know it sounds crazy, but you should know that Nisan is also a time to be Mevakesh Geshamim. Why is that? She'nemar v'yored lechem geshem morel malkosh barishon. I will make the rain, the yoreh, and the malkosh, I will make it rain in the first month. First month is Nisan. Mashma, that the entire Nisan is the time of the Geshamim. We'll be discussing later on in the Gemara the different stages of rain, when it's called Yoreh, when it's called Malkosh, and why it's given those names. Omar, Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Yitzchak, what in the world does Rabbi Meir mean, and does this pasuk refer to? How could it say that the Yoreh falls in Nisan, when later on we're going to have the whole discussion of when the Yoreh is, and it's in Mar Cheshvan, the Tanya. Yoreh b'Mar Cheshvan, and the Malkosh is in Nisan. So how could you say Yoreh and Malkosh both are in Nisan? Omar Le'achi, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, this was a unique event, which of course makes it very strange, which was the reason that we asked the question. If it's a unique event, and it's basically miraculous, I mean, so how is Rabbi Meir saying that that is the time where it's considered to be Roy Ligashami? And this is why he asked it. So we're not really explaining that. And then Rabbi Yochanan said, now we're going to have, right, now this is a format for the rest of the daf, because in each one of these points, Rabbi Nachman asks a question, and Rabbi Yitzchak answers the question by quoting Rabbi Yochanan. So this is our first. Rabbi Yochanan, this particular pasuk was Bimei Yoel ben Petuel. This was in the days of the Navi of Yoel, and this is when this pasuk took place. Dichtive, because we know that there was a Nevius of Yoel that was a terrible Nevius of a vicious Ra'av that was going to come, and there was going to be, out of those 7 years of Ra'av, there was going to be an attack over 4 years of different types of locusts that are called Bimei Yoyo, which are compared to Mitzrayim. Yeter Agazam Achal Harpeh. It goes through the different species that are going to be coming, and each one of them is going to eat up something else. And then after those 7 years, we have this amazing nace that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, once they did Teshuvah, then I'm going to give them the entire payback, everything that was eaten by the Arba and by the Kozam and by Yelek and the Chasil. I'm going to pay it back to them. And it's going to be paid back all at once. So in the first month of the year, they're going to have the Yoreh. And we'll see later, the Yoreh is basically the stage at which the rain first copulates. Yoreh is a lashon of Rovia. So the rain is seen as the sperm, so to speak, that copulates with the earth and creates the new growth. That's what's called Yoreh. And the Malkosh is its Malay, it's Mimalay, the Kashim. So it fills up the Tvua at the end and gives it that last jolt of extra water. And here it says, I'll give you both of them in 1 month. Usually it's 6 months. We go from Mar Cheshvan, and then at the end of the entire season, the Malkosh comes in Nisan. So Otashana Yatsa Adar. This is the seventh year. And Adar, which is usually the end of the rainy season, nothing. Not a drop of rain. Lo yodu gishamim. And what happened was, the Rivi'a Rishona fell on Echad B'Nisan. So Yoel HaNavi comes to Yisrael and says to them, you see, here's the rains, go out and plant whatever you've got in the fields. Amrullah, so they said to Yoel, that's crazy. Look, a guy's got left for the rest of his life. He's got left one bag of wheat, two bags of barley. What would you advise, Dr. Yoel? It's amazing advice you're giving. We should take the food out of our mouths, put it into the earth, believe you that it's we're going to have a chance to eat it. And even if we would have a chance to watch it grow, we'd be dead by then because we don't have anything to eat. Amar lahem afal pi ken. You listen to me, and I'm telling you, b'shem Hashem, tzu'u v'ziru. They did. And na'asah lahem neis, after they did, a miracle happened that they found what to eat despite the fact that they had given away their last drops because of bitochen and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they went and na'asah lahem neis, you see from the order that it was in that order, and they found what it was that the mice had hidden inside of their walls. They suddenly discovered massive antholes that were filled with tfua, and that was enough to keep them going. And they were busy planting on the 2nd of Nisan, the 3rd of Nisan, and on the 4th of Nisan, meanwhile eating that grain. And then the second revia, we'll see that there's stages of revia. The second revia came down on the 5th of Nisan. And by the time that it was the 16th of Nisan, and it was ready to bring the Omer to be matir them, the Tvua Chadasha, they were able to bring the new Omer from what they had planted in those first days of Nisan. Absolutely astounding. Nimtzei Tvua HaGdela B'Shisha Chodashim, that normally what they would have grown in the 6 months from Tishrei to Nisan ended up growing in 11 days. And Nimtza Omer HaKorev Mitvua Shal Shisha Chodashim, and that way they could bring the Omer, which is usually it takes 6 months to grow, was brought mitvua shel 11 yom. It was brought from the 11-day growth. Alotu ador hu omer hazorim b'dim'ah. When they were putting those seeds into the ground, they were convinced that they were digging their own graves. And berina yiktsoru. Sorry. So as they were planting, they were crying, because they felt this is the end. And then they ended up having this great harvest. Yeah, but what is the meaning of the rest of the pasuk? It just seems to be repetitive. Holoch yelech uvocho nosim meshech hazora bo yovo. I mean, well, I understand. That's the same thing. You said hazorim bedima. That's the holoch yelech uvocho. And then you said berina yiktsor. That's nosim meshech hazora. What's added over here? Omer Rabbi Yehuda, this is not referring to the person. This is referring to the shar. So the shar was being choresh. It was pulling the plow behind it, and it was on its last carcass. It had nothing to eat. There was nothing in the field, and therefore was basically lo taksom shar b'disho. There it's working, and it has nothing to eat. So it's crying, so to speak. And as soon as it turned around to go in the other direction, it was already growing what had been planted 3 seconds earlier, and was able to start eating it because it was already one-third grown as it was walking back. So this, you think that Galadriel's special dust over there, that's something. Oh my gosh. So this is instantaneous. So as the shore itself, it was actually Berina. It was eating already the chaziz right out of the telem that it had just planted. And that's what's meant by bo yavo Berina. And what about the next piece? What is the meaning of nosei alumotav? Because that is the same thing as berina yiktsoru, isn't it? Omer Rav Chista v'Amar b'matnita tana, this is an alumot that are unique, alumotav. Because normally what you find is that you have 3 or 4 times more straw on the plant than you have the actual shibolet, which is the area of the ear. It's like a quarter of the plant, you know? Fifth of the plant. And here, the kana was one zeret, then there was shibolet was zeretayim. So there's twice as much ear than there was straw, stalk. Amazing. My grandfather, Zatzal, always used to, my father's father always used to say over the Slonim and the Kud, I'm sure I've said it to you probably 10 times over the past 10 times we did the Shas, but not 74 times. But I can't resist. So he explains, Hazorim b'dima b'rina yiktsoru, holoch yelech uvocho nosi meshech hazora, like this. That Hazorim, people who put in the investment, b'dima, whether you're crying when you're investing, or whether you're happy to invest, Marina, you're putting in your Avedas Hashem. In the end, yiktsaru. You're going to get your ktsira from it. The only difference is, if the, all the time you're sitting there moaning and groaning and crying, you'll get appropriate to what you put in. Let's say Mezhech Hazora. Oh, Yavo Barina. But if all the time, no matter what the situation was, you were always happy, no say alumotav, then you'll be overwhelmed with this type of magical yield. Okay. It's a beautiful way to read it. Very Hasidish. Amalei Reb Nachman l'Reb Yitzchak. Mai dichtiv ki kara Hashem l'ra'av v'gamba el ha'aretz sheva shani. So what are we talking about over here? This pasuk is from Malachim, right? And we're saying that that was what Yoel was referring to, was the Einesh for the Chet of Yisrael, Niravam. What did they eat during these 7 years? How could there be a Ra'av for 7 years? My Ochel. Amar Leh, so here is again Reb Yitzchak answering a question with what Reb Yochanan said. Shonari Shonachlu Mashi Bebatim. The first year, they were eating all of their tuna fish and canned goods. The Shnia, Ochlu Mashi Besadot, whatever could be found that had sprouted in the fields, but that had been left in the fields as junk. That's what they managed to eat, what was in the fields with strawberries and whatever berries they could collect and so on. Shlishit, the third year, they ate up all of their livestock, Sar Beimatora. The fourth year, they ate up their horses and all of the things that were tame, the Chamorim, Revi'it Sar Beimat Mea. The fifth year, they ate, God only knows, shkatzim, remashim, mice, rats, whatever they could catch. Shishit b'sar b'neihem uvnotehem, Hashem yishmor. Shvi'it b'sar zro'otehem, l'kayim Hashem yish b'sar zro'o yochelu. People would eat their own flesh. They were so hungry. V'omer leh, Reb Nachman, Reb Yitzchak. I have another question. When it says in the pasuk, b'kir b'cha kadosh, lo avo ba'ir, this doesn't make any sense. If it says Bekir Becha Kadosh, when there is Kedusha in Klal Yisrael, I won't come into town. What's that supposed to mean? Mishum de Bekir Becha Kadosh, because you have my Simtaivim and Tshuva, lo avo b'ir. What is that supposed to be? Omar Lei said, Rabbi Yitzchak, Achi Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan explained that what it means is like this. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo avo b'Yerushalayim Shalmala, it means that when the Kodesh means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuilds Yerushalayim and there is a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, then I'm ready to come into Yerushalayim that's in the Shamayim. What, there's such a thing as Yerushalayim in the Shamayim? Mi'ika Yerushalayim Lamala? I mean, I knew that there was a Beis HaMikdash, like it says, Zeshara Shamayim, with the Sulam Yaakov. But where does it say that there's a city of Yerushalayim, so to speak, as an extended Beis HaMikdash in the Shamayim? Absolutely, says the Gemara Dichtiv, Yerushalayim HaBnuya, Ki'ir Shechubra LaYachdav. So this aspect of the rejoining of what was the separation of the Elyonim and the Tachtonim is not only the Shar of Shamayim in terms of a Beis HaMikdash, it's actually expressed in the Chibur of Yerushalayim, where the concept of Yerushalayim is the interrelationship of Shamayim v'aretz. Here's another thing that Reb Nachman asked, and again, Reb Yitzchak brings a mimer from Reb Yochanan as an answer. Amalei Reb Nachman, Reb Yitzchak, what is the meaning of the pasuk? U'be'achat, says in Yirmiyahu, u'be'achat yivaru v'yichsolu, Musar Havalim Eitzu. So, I mean, what's the achat over here that's supposed to mean? It says, on the one hand, these people are complete idiots. Yivaru loshen of ba'ar. So they are so stupid, these people, that to give them Musar is complete nonsense because they're nothing but a piece of wood. This is, I say in Yiddish, a shtick holz, a piece of wood. What in the world are you talking to them for? It's not even worth talking to them. But what is the bi'achat yiv'aru? Omar le'achi om Rabbi Yochanan. Again, Rabbi Yitzchak told him, a mimer of Rabbi Yochanan that addresses the question. There is one avera, achati, shemiva'eret rishaim begeinam. There's only one avera that burns up the rishaim in Gehenna. And what is that? That is specifically the one giant aveda zora. That's what it's all about. How do I know that? Because look at the pasuk, k'tiv hacha, musar havalim etzu. This is like being giving musar to wood. But what is that havalim of complete and total emptiness and vanity? Hevel hema ma'asei tatuim. But the Navi also refers to Avodah Zarah Bichlal when he's talking about all of these crazy things that people do. They are called hevel, musar havalim. And there it says they're tatuim. Tatuim means it's just complete delusion. It's you think you're seeing something that you're not seeing. So you're living in a world not only of emptiness, but you're living in delusions. That's the point. So that is the Avodah Zarah. And Benny, you spoke to me this week earlier about the question of how it is that Avodah Zarah actually spreads out over the entire life of a person and ends up becoming the definition of what he's doing, even in issues that don't seem to have anything to do with Avodah Zarah. And that was an extremely well-timed question. Must be from the Hashpov being around Gavi land. I don't know. Maybe that's why Gavi is put next to you today. It's amazing what the Zoom knows. But anyway, so that basically is what it's saying over here. Because how can you say that there's one Avera? I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shekel every last thing in Din. And if someone, Chas V'Shalom, is Yored L'Gehenna, it's Yored L'Gehenna in terms of the overall Din of having Rov Avinais. So why does it say there's Achasi? That's Bevayar HaRishayim Begehenna. So I think that this relates back to the Rambam, and that's Mamish, the Rambam's definition of Hilchos Tainius, which is where we are, which is why this would have everything to do with our Masechet. So the Rambam explains that the Taniyot that are Kvuim and that are definitive for all of Yisrael, the days that all of Yisrael is Mis'ana at the end of Hilchos Tainius, is because the same exact Maisim that affected our forefathers and brought them to the state that they were in, they are exactly the same as they are today. As we pointed out there, that's crazy. I mean, the Gemara goes to such detail in the differences between the Churban Rishon and the Churban Achron, and how in the world could we say that throughout all of history, there's a retzef of the same issues when they're not the same issues at all? I mean, maybe in the first place of Mikdash, we were talking about Avodah Zarah, and over there also was Avodah Zarah, and it was Shrichas Damim, and it was Gilui Arayis, and I mean, it's not the same. And then in the second base of English, we're talking about Sinas Chinam. So where in the world does it come to be able to say that this is an expression of the similarity of our Maisim? So you have to say that the Rambam is talking about the holistic understanding of what is going on. And that seems to be what the Gemara is trying to establish, but Dafka with the Gzera Shava, Dafka with the Raya from the Pusik, that it's the living in Ta'atu'im. It's basically being in a delusory world. So the fact that a person is able, that's the El Midatchem that we were discussing then, that Al Tifnu El Ha'elilim, Al Tifnu El Midatchem, as Rashi says, it's stop creating delusions for yourself and then dancing around them like we did with the ego. Stop doing that. It's all delusory and you really believe in it. It's incredible. So that maybe is the underlying nature. That's what he's saying. You should know. That's the Chiddush of the Navi. Achasi, it's always the same. It's if you can get over living in delusions, then basically there would be no need for Gehenna. So that's the real meaning of the Avodah Zarah over here. The Amalei Reb Nachman, Reb Yitzchak. Another thing that Reb Nachman asks Reb Yitzchak, which Reb Yitzchak answers with Reb Yochanan, is my dechtiv kishtaim ra'ot asa ami. Wait, you just said that there was one fundamental thing that burns in Gehenna. Now you're saying there's two fundamental things. You can't mean that there's two fundamental things after you just stressed that there's one. I mean, fundamental means one. It's a theory of everything. So what is the two things? And if you're listing things, I mean, look, you know, there's an awful lot of things we could list. I mean, when Yechezkel goes through the list of all of the awful things that are being done by Klal Yisrael, he lists 24 different things. Okay, so if you want to make a real impact, you know, so talk about the 24 things. Well, what is these two things? What does the Navi mean when it says kishtayim ra'ot? That's not the same as what it says in Yechezkel. What does it mean? Tartinu Davi, there's only two things. And what about the 24 things? Now we're not going to care about that. Esrim v'arba shvikalu. The other 22, there's actually a girsa in some places, the Tartin, Esrim v'Tartin, that there's 22 things, other things that you're not mentioning. So Rabbi Yitzchak again said to him from Rabbi Yochanan, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, no, it does refer to the Achas, and it is talking about the same fundamental thing. And the reason that it says Shtayim is because it is Achas, which equals two. What do you mean? How is it that the Avodah Zarah of Klal Yisrael is double the meaning of an Avodah Zarah that the Umes HaElam are Isaac in? My new Avodah Zarah. Because we find that the Navi says, Kishtayim ra'ot asuami. There were two different things that they did in Yirmiyahu. First of all, Oti azavu mikor mayim chayim. They left me behind, and I am mamish, a well of living water. What do they want to drink out of and get their life from? These broken down cisterns. This is what you want to drink when you've got this incredible bubbling well of completely fresh and new water? What's wrong with you guys? Uchtivu, that's considered to be two different averas. It's one thing, Mela, okay, you're not Shomer Mitzvahs, you leave me behind. Okay, you don't believe in me. But then to go and find garbage that you do believe in, that makes it worse. So it's one inyan, but it has two completely different elements. And that's why actually Yirmiyahu says that these kind of people don't have the brains to be Ivru Yichitim Ru. Listen, go over there to the islands where the Chitim live, you know? Or go to Kedar and send messengers there to bring you back a social analysis. Think about this, you know? Ha'emir Goy Elohim, has a society ever like gotten up and changed a god? Like, you know, I mean, whatever, this is your religion. All of a sudden you're going to have a mass departure of Catholics for Buddhism. I mean, it's like, whatever, you know, you stick with your religion. And non vehema lo Elohim. And that's where they don't even have a god. They have a delusion. And ami, hemir kvodo, they have the greatest covet, that is the fact that they have a connection to me, and that they want to switch that out for something that is below your eel. It's completely useless. So the Bryce explained that the idea of here specifically, why do we talk about the Kitim and the Kedar? Because the Kitim, it should obviously has to say Kitim. This is otherwise has nothing to do with the Pasuk. So the Kitim are Ovdim La'ech. They're fire worshippers. And Kedar, the Kedarim, they're water worshippers. Now look, I mean, obviously the Kitim know that fire can be put out by water, right? So, I mean, they ought to say, well, I guess we've discovered a better God than ours because he's more powerful and he puts out the fire. But nonetheless, it never occurred to them that we should switch out religions because of that, right? And even though they know that it was useless, va'ami, emir kvodo below yo'il. So it's like a double hate what they're doing, the Avodah Zarah of Yisrael. Another question. So Rav Nachman, and this, of course, is an expansion of that idea of the Ma'aseh Tatuim. This makes it much more powerful. Another question Rav Nachman asks, and again, we have another maimer from Rav Yochanan to answer it. Amar le Rav Nachman or Rav Yitzchak, my difti, vayi kasher zaken Shmuel. So after it was that Shmuel got old, he decides that Vayasim et Banav, Shoftim li Yisrael, and that's when his children were not acting properly, and he makes his children the Shoftim. But the problem is, says the Gemara, Shmuel never got old. Shmuel died when he was 52 years old. So how could it say when Shmuel became old? The Omar Mar made the 52 over there. We have all Brisa. By the way, I just wanted to mention that there's a lot of discussion about whether the Rashi that we have on Masechet Ta'anit is really Rashi. There's a few places later on we're going to see some examples of where it looks like a Talmid Toeh wrote all kinds of Havolim and that people mention it. Anyway, so there's questions about whether the Rashi is a mixture of an original Rashi that was lost and they tried to fill it in, or whether many people were Toreach to actually figure out why it could work out according to Rashi. There's a comment here in the Rashi that is so completely not Rashi. And it says like this, Ubeseder Olam, this discussion of Shmuel being 52, Ubeseder Olam, Timtzaki Shnei Dapim Tosefet. You'll find two old pages of all kinds of discussions about this issue. You tell me if Rashi wrote those words. But anyway, this is the end of the Rashi on Shmuel. It's very cute, you know, if you're writing your friend, oh God, there's like pages and pages of this stuff, you know, you'll find it over there. All right, anyway, so what's the answer? If he was only 52 years old, how does it say that when Shmuel got old? Amar lei, so Rabbi Yitzchak said, I got a Rabbi Yochanan for you. Achi am Rabbi Yochanan, zikna kaftza alav. When we say that he was old, it doesn't mean he was chronologically old. It means that he was physically old, that he appeared to be old. He gave all the signs of old age. And here's the reason why that happened. It says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Shmuel, after he got angry at Shaul, and Shaul did not do the Ritzon Hashem with Amalek, Nichamti ki imlachti at Shaul, that's it. It's over. So Nichamti bepashtus means that Shaul should die. And he had run out of time. Amar lefanav sheShmuel says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, you said in the Pasuk that I am the equivalent of Moshe and Aaron. Moshe v'Aaron b'chayanav u'Shmuel b'korei Shemo. So when it came to Moshe v'Aaron, did the people that they created die before them? They both worked on Yoshua, didn't they? Moshe taught Yoshua, and then remember it says that Moshe left, and then Aaron took over, and he said over the Perek to Yoshua. And each time we went over it again. And Moshe and Aaron, who invested in Yoshua, Yoshua actually ended up taking over and being Manig Yisrael. So it's not fair. Afani lo yitbatel ma'aseh yadai b'chayai. So why should Shmuel die? Shaul die in my lifetime. I've put my life into building up Shaul. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oh gosh, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to himself, well, what am I going to do now? This is so unbelievable. Hechi Avid. I mean, I got to get rid of Shaul. But Shmuel doesn't let me. I can't just ignore Shmuel. So Loka Shavik Shmuel. Shmuel's not going to allow me. Should Shmuel die when Shmuel's young? That would be terrible, because then people would say, why did he die when he was young? He wasn't the tzaddik. He was probably a Russia. And, you know, he was hiding his rishas. I can't do that to him. Miranene Abadra. If I don't let Shaul die at this point, and I say, well, he's gone on for 2 years since I was Nichamti. What the heck? Let him live another 20 years. I can't do that either. Because if lo lemut Shaul, lo lemut Shmuel, it is now the time for Malchus of David. And the rule is, ein malchut no gad b'chavrta afilu kim lo nima. A hair's breadth cannot be taken from one Malchus to another. So what do I do? Oh, I got a great idea, says HaKadosh Baruch. I will make Shmuel not die. I'll make him old. So then no one will know that Shmuel is dying young. So I'll be ekfot zalav zikna. That way Shmuel can die. and then I can get rid of Shaul. And nobody will say anything. Hainu dechtiv, that's the meaning of the strange pasuk for Shaul Yoshev b'giva, tachat ha'eshel b'ramah. Giva and Ramah are two totally different places. I mean, this doesn't make any sense. He's in Giva, only the good die younger. They didn't know that yet. You know, they needed a Navi for Billy Joel. So anyway, Shmuel was Yoshev. It says over there, he's sitting in Giva underneath the tree in Ramah. How can you do that? One is in Ephraim and one is in Binyamin. V'chiman yan Giva itzor Ramah. Ah, point is, mi garam l'Shaul sheyeshev b'Giva shtei shanim u'mechza. How do you think that Shaul survived those additional 2.5 years after Hashem said, I'm sorry, nichamti, and then we have that whole awful period of the chasing of David and his deep down understanding that he is not supposed to be Melech, and he keeps more and more insisting that he's going to maintain the Malchus as he realizes more and more that he shouldn't be. It's awful. So, but it gave him 2.5 years of life. What gave him that? That was Tfilato Shel Shmuel HaRamati. So he was under the powerful oak tree that was Shmuel HaRamasi. That is what enabled Shaul to live. Wait a minute. What are we saying over here? That Shmuel died in order that David should be able to get his Malchus? I mean, is that the way things are? Umimitche gavra mikame gavra? I understand. Do we, like, take away one person's life in order to make the other person successful? Is that the Hanagas Hashem? Yes, absolutely. The Amar of Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonatan. What is the meaning of the pasuk in Hosea? Al kein chatzavti banevim haraktim beimrevi. What does it mean that I have like chatzavti? I mean, the pashtus is chatzavti banevim, that I've made the Maimer Hashem as if it was written in stone through Nevi'im. But I mean, in terms of the haraktim beimrevi, if it's referring back to the Navi, so it means I've been slicing away at my Nevi'im, killing them with my words. It doesn't say they did anything wrong. It doesn't say b'maaseihem, that they died because of their ma'asim royim. It says b'imreifi, because I made a gezera. So you see, sometimes there's a gezera because of the overall anhaga. And in this case, the overall anhaga was that ein malchus dogat b'chaberta. And if Shmuel puts himself in the way of the truck, that's what he's doing. He's saying, well, I mean, it's not fair. He can't die if I'm alive. Okay, so you die. I mean, you put yourself in the way of a truck. That's what happens. Amamitche gavra mikami gavra. Reb Nachman, Reb Yitzchak. So Reb Nachman and Reb Yitzchak sitting eating together. And Reb Nachman again says to Reb Yitzchak, say over a vart. Lema mar milz. We're sitting here drinking. I mean, shouldn't we have some divrei Torah? So he said, I'll tell you a vart from Reb Yochanan. Reb Yochanan says we don't talk while we're eating. That's the vart. Ein mesichin besuda, because you can die. Shema yagdim kona levesha. V'yavolidei sakana. If you're eating, you may get some food down your windpipe and choke to death. So I'm not going to talk to you anymore. After they finished. So then, Omar like Rabbi Yitzchak says to Rabbi Nachman, I'll tell you another vart by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan had said, Yaakov Avinu never died. It says Rav Nachman to Rav Yitzchak, never died. That's insane. Oh man, they spent so much money on all those espedim and on getting those chantuch and tinaya. They got the guys who are the ones who do the embalming, and they did this gigantic levaya and brought him up for tefura. But he was just sitting there smiling. Boy, these guys are crazy. I mean, that's ridiculous. How's that possible? Oh my leg. Look, man, I'm just telling you what it says in the pasuk. Shenemar v'ata al tirav di Yaakov ne'um Hashem. And as, by the way, Tosis points out that in the pasuk, in the Chumash, it never says that he dies. It just says va'yigvah. It always says va'yigvah ve'yamot, and it doesn't say that by Yaakov Avinu. But here we're looking for a positive pasuk that says he's alive. So it says al tirav di Yaakov ne'um Hashem va'al techat Yisrael. I'm going to bring you back out of Golas, and I am going to be actually bringing up the Zera Yaakov and Zera Yisrael out of wherever they were captive in the Golas. So this means not only Yisrael will come out of Golas, but Yaakov himself, Avdi Yaakov, will be coming up. And it means in the same way, Makishula Zaro, in the same way that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Klal Yisrael back from Golas, obviously it's referring to living people. So Mazaro Bachayim, Afu Bachayim. There's a very cute, I'm pretty sure it's the Torah Tmima, who says on this, like, what in the world does this have to do with what he just was talking about? Like, why does he bring him this story after he told him in Meisich and Misa'udah? So he says, well, notice Rav Nachman's reaction to Rav Yitzchak's vort. Woo, that's crazy, says Rav Yitzchak. If you would have gone, woo, that's crazy, you'd be dead by now if it was in the middle of the Suda. Now you understand why Ein Meisich and Misa'udah. Okay. So when they were about to leave each other, so Reb Nachman asks Reb Yitzchak, "Livrachon Mar, give me a brocha." This is after these long conversations. Apparently, these inyanim are connected to each other in some deep way. Omar Leis, so Reb Yitzchak said to him the famous mashal, the beautiful mashal.
I think Rabbi skipped. Call the Omer Rakov.
Oh, I'm sorry. Another right. I'm so sorry. Omer Rav Yitzchak, another thing that Rav Yitzchak says, which was also meant to elicit like a sense of, what? That's crazy. Anybody who says the word Rachav, ejaculates on the spot. Miyad Nikre. Rav Nachman said, I don't know. I'm saying Rachav, don't do nothing for me. I mean, I still need the Viagra. What are we doing Rachav over here? No, said the Imam, I'm talking about Omar Aina Amina Balaikpati, Omar Lay. We're talking about Kikamina Biyota Uvamakira. We're talking about people. Tosfos says that means Biyota that he actually slept with her. So he'll get turned on by just mentioning Rachav because she was so incredibly gorgeous. But obviously, somebody who doesn't even know her, I mean, what's supposed to do anything for him? Anyway, when they were about to leave each other, Kiavi Miftri Meadadin. Omalei, Reb Nachman asks Reb Yitzchak for a bracha. Livrachonah. Omalei, I should give you a bracha. Okay, my bracha is this mush. I'm sholecha mashal. L'mah davar domeh. Imagine, and this is what it was like meeting you. Okay, I could just say what this day meant to me, being with you. You know, so here's a guy who's walking in the desert, which is basically the way I've been. I don't have nobody to talk to. I mean, I live in a desert, and he's hungry, and he's tired, and he's thirsty, and he's like ready to give up. And all of a sudden, he finds this beautiful tree. And this tree has got fruits that are, oh God, they're so sweet. And it's got this shade that is such a pleasure just lying here under the shade with you. It's amazing. And then there's this beautiful Amat HaMayim that's constantly filled with Chiddushim and so much fun going underneath the tree. So he eats the fruit. He drinks the water. He sits in the shade. And when he's going to leave, he says, ah, what a tree. What kind of bracha can I possibly give you? Imo malach, shiyu perotecha metukim. What am I going to say to you? You should have sweet fruit. You do have sweet fruit. You don't need me to tell you you should have sweet fruit. What should I say? You should have beautiful shade. You already do. What can I say? That there should always be water coming from you. You already have that. There's only one thing I could say to you, Mr. Tree. Ella, yiratzon shekol netiot shenotim mimcha. I tell you, Mr. Tree, that every sapling that comes from you should be like you. You kamotcha. That's what I feel about you. Afata, what am I supposed to say to you? I should give you a bracha. What should I say? In betera, look at the beautiful tera. If it's that you should be rich, or Hashem, it's amazing. You have everything that a person could possibly have. In bebanim, you have children. Ela yiratzon, sheyuhu tzeetzaei me'echa kamotcha. May all that comes from you throughout the generations be like you. Wow. That's, friends,